Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. On Tuesday, as many of you heard, we took calls from people in the Manhattanville and Grant houses about the gangland turf war and rash of shootings going on in those two West Harlem projects in recent years, and the massive NYPD raid on both last week that resulted in 40 arrests. Residents of the houses, at least many of those who called in, now feel victimized twice by the gangs and by the raid. For example, Sanji from the Manhattanville houses, here she is first on the violence. Ever since a popular girl, a teenage basketball star named Tayshauna Murphy, was killed there in 2011.
I mean, they have been fighting since Tayshauna Murphy has been killed. Tayshauna Murphy caused a lot of chaos along with her brother from the Grant houses. And when they did kill her, it was two guys from Manhattanville, allegedly, that killed her. And these are my son and them friends. So they have to fight every day, these boys, because they wasn't letting it go. We hated the fact that she got killed and those two chose to do that. But don't bring these kids. These kids every day, they were fighting. Grant houses come up there shooting, fighting every day. And I didn't care. They didn't care if it was kids, old people, nobody. They shoot in the broad daylight. And this is what we had to go through all the time.
Sanji in Manhattanville on the horrific environment of violence that she and her neighbors have had to live with. But about the raid to sweep up the alleged perpetrators?
I'm a parent of two of my children were caught up in the raid that shouldn't have been in this military-style raid. They had the helicopters over our apartment. They bust our door down. I had grandkids just in there that's traumatized behind this. My baby is the youngest one from the Manhattanville side. He's 15 years old. They even pulled him into this as conspiracy, and the school came to the court to back us up in court. Like, this, my son is not into this.
So again, Sanji in Manhattanville. Yesterday, Mayor de Blasio addressed the situation and supported the police.
I think I've talked to a lot of people from the community. We're talking about Grant houses and Manhattanville houses. The people I've talked to were very pleased that a persistent gang problem was addressed. By the way, there are some people who were arrested who sadly are hardened criminals. There are others who are very young, and we're going to do everything we can to help turn them to the right path. And I think we've talked about this a lot in the last year. I'm a thorough believer in gang intervention in the efforts to work with community members, family, clergy, to turn around some of our younger individuals who have had some trouble and help them veer away from that path. It has worked all around the country. We're using it more and more here. But the bottom line is, Commissioner Bratton and I talked frequently. I understood that this was coming, and I absolutely approved and supported it. Because for those two developments, they are a lot safer today because of this action, and you're going to see a lot more of these kind of actions wherever we are in a position to put together the evidence to do that kind of full sweep.
Mayor de Blasio, about a minute of him talking yesterday. And let's talk now with Manhattan DA Cy Vance. He and Police Commissioner Bratton both appeared at the news conference after the raid. Hi, DA Vance. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian.
First, I saw you quoted saying these were not sophisticated drug trafficking organizations, not those kinds of gangs. They were young people protecting their territories against imaginary threats and avenging the shootings of fellow gang members and loved ones. How sad and tragic that that's the case. Tell us more about the big picture as you see it.
Well, the big picture, Brian, is first reacting to the callers. I completely understand the enormous impact that follows a DA police enforcement action in these developments. And I don't think we can minimize how scary that can be. But I do just want to indicate that there were over 40 arrests affected. The charges involved were, among others, conspiracy to commit murder that had been found by a grand jury involving weapons. So in order to get in and stop the violence, the police had to go in and make arrests, conducted over 31 search warrants, And nobody was injured during that raid. Now, I understand how scary it is, or I certainly am empathetic to it, but it's a lot scarier to have bullets flying around your neighborhood. So I think the goal here is to, and I believe and hope we will have achieved it, is to identify the folks who are driving crime and make sure that that crime is eliminated. The big picture is that the gangs that we typically are dealing with in Manhattan tend to be younger, in the range of 15 to 20, although there are individuals who are older than that. And sadly, in the Manhattanville case yesterday, allegations in the indictment that children as young as 10 were induced by gang members to perform various services for gang members, such as being a lookout or moving a weapon. 4 years ago, when I became DA, I made a commitment that I was going to take on gang and gun violence as among my highest priorities. 4 years later, we've had 14 separate indictments involving 16 gangs that have been dismantled. The unit has taken 900 guns off the streets. In East Harlem, just alone, our two most violent precincts after our gang actions since 2010, shootings and homicides have been reduced more than 70% in our most violent precincts. So the big picture is we had a problem. We have a problem. And you cannot sit by and continue to have neighborhoods terrorized and people shot in neighborhoods. You have to act. The big picture is also always that we believe that prevention is as important as enforcement. So we absolutely, when we complete a enforcement action, we need to make sure that we are speaking with the community and trying to put something back into the community. In Manhattanville houses, we will be opening up a program, I believe, this weekend as part of our Saturday Night Lights basketball program, which we now have 9 locations in New York County servicing 3,000 kids. So we understand that it's not enough to take bad actors out of the community. We need to put something in the community that in the way that we can, develops team leadership, provides a safe place for kids, and an interaction between law enforcement and the communities. Sorry for the length of that answer.
That's okay, because there's a lot to cover. And I'll come back to some of the prevention programs and certainly to the age of some of those arrested and what will become of them as the prosecutions go forward. But you began to address what the caller was saying, who we played at the beginning. And I want to play one more of those for you and follow up, because people were lining up on the phones to tell very similar stories, conflicted stories, that the violence was real and horrific and the NYPD needed to do something, but then they weren't happy at all about the way it came down. So this is a part of a call from another Manhattanville resident, Nicole.
We in Manhattanville have continuously walked into the NYPD 26th precinct to try to figure out ways to de-escalate these fightings, these stabbings, you know, these kids being jumped, beat up, harassed. And it wasn't just Manhattanville that these Grant children were going around attacking. And let me make this clear. These were not Grant children who were residents of Grant for 20, 30 years. These were new tenants who recently moved in between the last 5 to 10 years.
So Nicole, do you, given that whole scenario that you just laid out with the people from Grant, as you see it, did the NYPD protect you with this raid?
I'll tell you what they did. They tried to show care and concern. And I will give them, sometimes they would come out there, and if someone like me or what I would call an original resident would be out there to assist, because again, we're talking about a precinct whose officers were either transferred out, promoted, or whatever. Now we're dealing with new officers who don't know the neighborhood, they don't know the children, they don't know the parents, and they don't know the communication that's needed, you know, to do things like de-escalate something like this. So it was hard, and I get that. But at the end of the day, the way they put together this investigation, got these federal indictments to come up in these homes, trash them, be very unprofessional, break furniture and things of that nature, like, that was just way uncalled for. Because the children that they were looking for that was under indictment, they wouldn't have had no problem apprehending them from these apartments. But the way they did it, that was way out of line, and they know it.
Nicole from the Manhattanville Houses calling this program on Tuesday. Manhattan DA Cy Vance with us now. And, Mr. DA, I could play you more like that. So did the NYPD go too far? Were they breaking furniture, trashing apartments? We had numerous callers who were making allegations just like that.
Well, Brian, I think the answer to that question should be from the NYPD, who was there in effecting the arrests and search warrants in the houses. I wasn't there. But I obviously the NYPD and I believe all in law enforcement want to effect arrests and search warrants with the least amount of impact on the community. And I'm sure that every enforcement action involving search warrants and raids does not go perfectly according to plan. But what I also heard the caller say is that this is an area where violence had become unacceptably high. When we looked at the Manhattanville area, and as we started this case and up until the takedown, there had been 60-plus non-fatal shootings. That's people hit by bullets and 10 homicides. That's a dangerous scenario in which the NYPD is called in to effect arrest and execute search warrants. Effecting arrests is not always an easy or pretty process. So I don't think the NYPD would support gratuitous toughness or aggressiveness or violence in them doing their job. But I do think that the community, which is calling for enforcement action and calling for help from the NYPD and the DA's office, they got that help after a lengthy investigation. I believe this community will be safer. And I regret, as I'm sure the police do, if residents felt it was done with a heavy hand. But I can assure you that the motive of both the police and the DA's office was to deal with escalating violence promptly, swiftly, and effectively.
On the notion of promptly and swiftly, at least one of the callers complained that the investigation had been going on for years. Tayshaunna Murphy's murder was in 2011. And these turf battles had been escalating ever since. And it's almost the opposite of asking, you know, why did you do the raid or why did you do it in this way? But they also wanted to know why it took so long to do some kind of serious enforcement in the projects at all. What would you tell those folks?
Well, I would tell them that what is effective in dealing with gang action is to identify those who are most involved and by taking that group out en masse. If you take out one player or two players or three players, that does not interrupt significantly enough the continuation of the gang's activities. So while I am also empathetic to those who've called in and expressed concern and asked why didn't this happen sooner, the answer is if you want to undertake and finish with an effective investigation, you have to identify the players, you have to take them all out or as many as you can, and then you have to do what we're going to do, which is provide interaction and support to the community to let them know that we hear their concerns about their kids, we hear that we need to have greater intervention between law enforcement and the community, and we intend to get there.
The numbers that I read are that 40 people were arrested in this raid, but you've charged 100. So are there still 60 potentially violent gang members from the Manhattanville and Grant houses being sought?
Well, a number of the individuals were in custody, I think 30-plus, Brian. So they were in custody up either upstate or elsewhere, and so they will be produced. They're under arrest and convicted or in jail on other charges. They will be produced before Judge McLaughlin and arraigned whenever the transportation is available. So there was a number of folks that were indicted but were not out on the street.
How are you as DA going to prosecute these cases with respect to distinguishing between serious violent criminals in this arrested group and kids, basically, who you yourself described as trying to protect their loved ones in a violent atmosphere?
in the actions that we've undertaken, the prosecutions, we have sought to recommend dispositions in the event that an individual wants to plead guilty that reflect just the, you know, the facts that you've identified. We've done, as I say, 14 indictments in the last 4 years, and a number of the individuals arrested in those were also younger individuals who'd been brought into commission of acts of violence, possession of handguns, and the like. And we've worked with the judge and counsel for the defendant to try to shape and find the right balance between between public safety and fairness in the justice system. In some of our cases, for example, one case that was received a lot of attention in Central Harlem, Africa Owes, who was a member of the Abyssinian Baptist Church, ultimately she was able to plead to youthful offender status, enabled her to go to college, and that was a result that we thought was fair and her counsel thought was fair. Enables her not to have a criminal record, but nonetheless, what she was indicted for and what she admitted doing was assisting gang members in their commission of violence in the Central Harlem neighborhood.
That first caller that we replayed said her son, 15, excuse me, was the youngest one arrested. Do you know how many of the 40 swept up the other night were under 18?
I know that there were four 15-year-olds, and I don't have the how many are in between the age of 16 and 18, but it was obviously we can get back to you, but that's not going to satisfy your need for right now. But there were some young individuals, and as I said, we will take each one of these cases and look at it individually.
One of our guests on this the other day, journalist Daryl Kahn, wrote a piece about something that you said relevant to this kind of case. And tell me if he got it right, that the DA's office business model is broken in certain ways. And one of your jobs since taking office is to try to fix it. Did you say something like that?
Did I say that our model was broken? I think, actually, I don't recall saying that, but I did participate in a panel in Columbia University dealing with mental health issues in the criminal justice system.
That is the panel he was referring to.
And what I said was we have a criminal justice system where 90% of the people arrested are arrested for misdemeanors. 10% are indicted for felonies. Yet, in almost every office, 10% of the DAs work on taking care of 90% of the cases. And that's what I was referring to. And what I was trying to communicate, Brian, is that we need to invest as a city, as a state, as a country, more resources in helping young men and women from getting into trouble in the first place or helping them if they've had a first interaction with the criminal justice system from reoffending. So focus on if someone gets arrested for a minor offense, that the goal necessarily should not be to have that person plead, you know, guilty to an adjournment and contemplation of dismissal and have nothing done with that. That if we're going to help kids stay out of trouble, not get back to the criminal justice system, all of us are going to have to invest in more monies for our alternatives to incarceration early on in minor arrests and not just wait for major crimes to develop.
So last question, and you can add to your answer any last things you want to say on this. The Saturday night basketball program sounds well and good, but when you're in a situation that's already become as hot as the Grant versus Manhattanville houses gangs, obviously you need to be doing more there in terms of prevention. Is there more coming from your office, or is that not the DA's job? Your job is to prosecute and other people's job is to prevent.
Well, let me just answer to the last point. The issue, or where criminal justice issues, big picture issues are need to be addressed is not just at the DA's level or the police level. There are certain things that we can do, and I can talk with you about those things we do beyond simply sports programming, such as, you know, providing academic advocates in those same centers for kids who want tutoring. But the answers to crime rely upon education, employment, adequate housing, dealing with our mental health system. If we are going to get serious about crime in America, it's in those areas we ought to be focusing, and those areas are most affected by presidents, legislators and the mayor.
So is there anything that you would ask for from the mayor and city council or from the governor and the state legislature that would help you in this that you're not currently getting?
Well, there are a number of issues where we need help from all of those parties. But we are, I will tell you this, that with this commissioner and with the mayor's Office of Criminal Justice Council, in the last 4 months, we have been working full-time to find ways that we can partner together more effectively with an idea in all that we do to try to enhance fairness at the same time as we are enhancing public safety.
D.A. Cy Vance, anything else you want to say?
It was great to be on your show.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Take care.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, bond buyers love New York. Why this week's closely watched bond sale went better than expected and what it means for Mayor de Blasio's progressive agenda. Stay with us.